In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Everybody's plainly had enough of lockdowns. And everywhere, people are asking when things will be back to how they were, back to normal. As if that's the only appropriate outcome. As if COVID and its lockdowns and restrictions have nothing to teach us. As if they're not harbingers of something important that we have to take notice of. As if there's no opportunity in all this upheaval. Clearly, the protesters against masks, vaccines, and lockdowns don't like what all this is telling us. They don't like the reminder that they're members of the herd, equally susceptible to the disease alongside all those people they think they're better than. They don't like to hear that they're responsible for others, that their own right to choose is not absolute. And in particular, they don't like to be told that we're going to have to live differently. The French intellectual Bruno Latour has a new book out called After Lockdown, A Metamorphosis, in which he discerns a lesson and an opportunity for our species in COVID and in the lockdowns. He says that this disruption, this forced restraint, this unaccustomed mutuality, this new respect for the forces of nature is all salutary if we're to become a species able to live with climate change and to make the sacrifices that it's going to take to limit how bad things get. COVID and the lockdowns are a taste of what's coming, an opportunity to embrace a new normal, because in truth, we can't go back. We can't go back to individualism, neoliberalism, populism, tribalism, and everything else that takes our eyes off what has to be the main game if our species is going to hand on a habitable Earth. For Bruno Latour, contrary to so many populist politicians and their anxious followers, lockdowns are a messenger, helping us get used to a future that will not be comfortable, where we have to become what he calls terrestrials, learning to think differently about our lives together, our communities, our global world, and how we relate to that Earth and to its resources. Who knows what new pandemics, what hordes of climate refugees, what agricultural failures and economic collapses are coming our way that we'll have to face patiently and in a grown-up way if we're to get through, without populists capitalising on our anxieties and without a large number of people stubbornly pulling in a different direction. No wonder there are so many protests about COVID restrictions and so much resistance. I think it's because deep down, people sense that we're being given an uncomfortable message, one which blocks any path back to the old normal. Friends, the prophet Malachi gives us a similar reminder this morning. God is fulfilling old promises, but in new ways, which is good news about a new future, but bad news if all we're committed to is the old normal. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, catches the joy of this in our canticle this morning. This is not all bad news. Paul, in our Philippians passage this morning, rejoices that Christians are abandoning the old normal and coming to embrace the new future that God is giving them in Jesus Christ, learning to live accordingly, to live differently. And so, Paul too is joyful. Luke in our gospel puts this message on a public stage spelling it out in terms of politics and history. See how Luke starts our gospel today with a list of who's who in the political zoo. From the emperor, to the governor, to the client king, to the local official, to the religious leader. It's the whole cast list from Game of Thrones. Yet Luke puts this whole nexus of power and entrenched, if uneasy, normality on notice. Because where does God's word land? It comes at their world completely at a tangent, and it lands out in the wilderness. Then there's that lovely passage that Luke quotes from the servant song in Isaiah chapter 40, so beautifully set by Handel in Messiah. With every mountain and hill made low, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain, with the community made ready to embrace the new thing promised by John the Baptist in his challenging call to repent. Now, we might read this simply as imagery of preparing for Jesus' arrival, like a parish Advent working bee. Tidy the place up and lay out the red carpet. But René Girard reads this vision of Isaiah differently. The highs and lows, the rough places, the crooked ways are all symbolic of a certain type of world, run by the Game of Thrones cast who begin our gospel today. A world of violent conflict, of losing and winning, of deception and avoidance, of high drama and low sullen scheming. That's the world we're being invited to leave behind. And once we stop thinking in those terms, we'll be able to see God clearly. We'll be able to know what's sacred and holy and worthwhile and what must be let go of. In other words, the message of Advent is that there's no way back to humanity's old normal. And if we were able to resist God's call to a new human future in Jesus Christ without too many terrible consequences for the last 2,000 years, well, we're not going to be able to get away with it even for another 100 years, because humanity's chickens are coming home to roost. Friends, the Eucharist we celebrate invites us to see ourselves and our world and our God differently, to experience an intimacy with Jesus and a solidarity with God's people, and to go from being a church of comfortable habit to a church of vocational seriousness. And it's all gift. None of it is a curse. It's humans who make the curse. If we keep up the protests and the tomfoolery and the smug sense of entitlement, and if we refuse the opportunity that COVID mandates and restrictions have given us, an opportunity to take stock. Now, as Christians, you and I should be the first on board with all of this, because we have Advent in our DNA, and because God calls the church to take a lead in proclaiming and welcoming the new normal. The Lord be with you.
And also.